this is a great couple, Ryan and Tiffany. And one of the things that is, I just remember, I think it was Tiffany who, you know, there's, everyone has a story. And I remember her kind of saying, we were done with church. I'm like, you mean like done? She said, yeah, we were done with church. And then somehow they found hope at Hope Church. And I thought, wait, done with church? Just share just a little bit of that with me and tell me, Tiffany, and then Ryan, kind of what is that? I mean, done with church.
Yeah, it can be definitely a scary feeling to realize that I'm done with church. And I'm going to preface it with the backstory is we have lived out here for over 10 years, and we were at a church previously for a very long time, and we knew that season was coming to an end. And just knowing what that next part of our life was going to look like, I thought, this is Northwest Arkansas. I'll just go find another church. And the next thing I knew, 3 years had gone. We had floated from place to place. And just one day, I was just so almost in despair. I thought, I don't know what to do next. Where if you have children, you know you're taking your kids from place to place. You're trying to find exactly what's going to work for everybody in your family. And that hasn't happened. And just in that moment, I felt so much despair. And then the pandemic happened. And that next season of life was some of the most lonely I could imagine ever being. You don't have a church, and now you're in a pandemic where you cannot see people, you can't be around people. I thought, that's it. And I told him, I said, I either want to like even move to a different place. We can't find something. I need community, I need hope. And I just didn't know how that was going to happen. And being the way the Lord led me, you know, it's such an amazing story. You can pick up kind of like where we began to find that hope, that next season of our life.
There's a little phrase in a Bible verse that I love. It's Genesis 24:27. There's a little phrase that says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And I love that because when we pray and we just get in his way, he finds a way to lead us. And there's another verse that says, you may roll the dice, but God decides where they land. And I think that's true for our life. I'll just say, you know, we ran into Pastor Kevin several times on the square, and we were invited so many times and during the bike rides on Tuesdays and things like that. And I think it was like 5 times we ran into each other. And I'm
Lord.
Just so thankful that God is in all of that. And then when I got here, I'll just say the people here were so hungry for the word. And they were, it was great to learn from everybody, for everybody to be together. I think that's super important because we don't have family, like blood family all in this area. We consider church our family.
Yeah.
And so, but there was one specific time I knew without a doubt, I was putting donuts in the little cup, little donut holes. And I was filling it up pretty good, and Pastor Jim came up and he says, can I get you a bucket? And I knew it was that moment in Star Wars where Han Solo looks at Chewie, they get on the Millennium Falcon, and he says, Chewie, we're home. And that was the moment for me, but I've been blessed, and also there's some Tiffany and Ryans out there that are walking around town looking for a place. And I was on the Bible reading this morning for Monday. I was a little ahead, but this verse came to me and it spoke truth. It said in 2 Timothy 1, it said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And I love that. And it reminds me also that instead of praying for less fear, we need to pray for more love to find people like us out there who would just begging for a home. So yeah,
they've actually have their car wrap that says "I love Hope Church." It's an entire car wrap. No, here's something true about them, and they're like crazy in a good way. To invite people to Hope. There are a lot of people who have given up on church, but Hope Church just isn't one of those. You come as you are, you grow, and it's true that this is a place where we want to help you grow in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say, on your way out, I mean, I don't even know if they ever have Hope cards. These people just invite people. There's a little card on your way out, and I have one in my pocket. Actually, I keep these in my wallet. It just says you're invited. And I gave one of these away just a week ago to somebody, and I said, you know what? And I talked to one of my new neighbors about Hope. This is a place where you can come just as you are and be loved, and you can grow in the Lord. And so you two, thank you for being, new to Hope, but not new here. I mean, you fit in real well. And I'll let you go get a donut.
Looking for those buckets. You spoke prophecy that day. That's why I was so... He knew my heart.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. Thank you. We love you guys a bunch. Today, I'm super excited to have somebody here who's going to share with us the Word of God. And we've known this couple for 30 years. And we first met when their son was in our youth group when I was a youth pastor. And he was, I think it was called the Director of Education for Open Bible Standard Churches. And since that time, he's become the president and oversees, I think it's like 40 countries. And it's a super honor to have President Bach and Barb, his wife, here. They just recently have celebrated 50 years of marriage. And... It was really funny. We took him out to dinner Friday night, and someone said, "You look so, you know, we got married at 10. And the server said, "You know you are in Arkansas." And I said, "Oh, yeah, that's right." Well, listen, Randall has, I know, a great word for us. And then following him speaking, I want to do something that's super important. When I talked to Randall, I said, I just want... from the president of, you know, overseeing 40 countries and all that, you've taken the time to be here. I want you to pray a blessing upon Hope Church. And so at the end of service, he'll turn it back to me, and then we're going to have just a moment where they pray for God's blessing upon us. So I'm super excited about that. Randall, if you'll come and share with us this morning again, thank you very much for coming. And I trust that you'll introduce your spouse, and all right, God bless you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Hope Church. It's a joy to be here. He stole all of my lines. I have nothing to say now. Barbara and I are very, very happy to be here. This is my wife, Barbara. Barbara, why don't you stand? They seen you with the camera already, so. Yes, that's my bride of, 50 years. Seems like it was just yesterday, and yet it also seems like it's always been, you know? Those of you who've been married for a while, you understand that. So I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it to you. So we have been looking forward to being with you and also to get together with the Brewers, Jim and Sharon. 30 years? My goodness, I didn't realize you were that old. So, and in another lifetime, Jim was a youth pastor with our son, so we deeply appreciate that. And I want to thank you for your graciousness in allowing me to share with you today, because I know you have one of the best preachers right here. So thank you for letting me come off the bench today and share with you. We are from Open Bible Churches. You are a part of a fellowship, of an association of churches that extends around the world. 47 countries is where we are. And you have a part in all of those ministries. Sometimes it's a feeding program in Cambodia. Sometimes it's a teaching program in another country. Sometimes it's a water well. Sometimes it's a feeding program in India. It's a teaching program of building churches also and planting churches around the world. You have a part in all of that when you give and you pray on behalf of those missionaries that we have going around the world. Our latest missionary is a young lady who is in her 20s, and she was headed for medical school. Have you had her here yet? Nicole is her name. Have you had her? Okay, she's the latest addition. She's in the Middle East. We only use her one name because for security reasons. She was headed for medical school. She just was one of those that, you know, blew the curve all apart when it comes to grading. You know, she hit the top and everything. She was going to become a medical doctor, and God got a hold of her and said, I've got other things for you to do. And she is so excited about being in the Middle East now. Young, single gal. That's a gutsy move, isn't it? So Nicole is her name. So I just want you to know you have a part in Nicole's ministry as well. Have you noticed that out there, it's really gotten testy and contentious? I mean, have you noticed how people are just ready to get angry? Ready to get feisty? Ready to argue? And I've seen that happen so much. I said last night, we met with the elders, and I said, you know, I'm a part of Facebook. I'm not really sure why, but I see this contentiousness happening among people, and there's so many things for people to be upset about and arguing about. So it seems like a major segment of our population today specializes in taking offense. I'm coming to realize after this many years in life, the longer I live, the more I realize this, that life consists of choices. It consists of choices, and those choices are frequently how we respond to situations, to circumstances, to decisions, to events, to disappointments, to people, to tragedies, to all the things that happen in life. Much of who we are is because of the responses we make to those things. And I think never before has it been more important for us regarding this decision I want to talk to you about today, and that is the choice to be thankful. Now, I'm sharing this out of my own heart today because God has taken me on a journey of learning, and I'm still learning, of learning to be thankful in every situation. In fact, it's a very emotional kind of thing for me. I want to tell you why. When I was in my 20s, when I was 24, I became executive vice president of a Bible college. Small Bible college, but yet I was in charge of hiring, firing, campus, food service. I was watching over recruitment, all of that at 24 years of age. I'd only graduated from college myself a couple years earlier, and yet God seemed to open this door for me, and so I did my best in that. I wore a lot of three-piece suits just to look as old as I could, you know, because I wasn't any older. In fact, there were students who were older than I was, you know, so I tried to look as old as I could, you know. So I was doing that, and I was dedicated to that, and it was hard because small college, you know, today it's very hard for a college to exist that's small just because of the economic factors, and it was even difficult then. So I was working so hard. I was raising funds. I was doing everything I could to improve the campus. Virtually every weekend, Barbara and I were out. We were with a singing group. We toured. We did everything we could to help that college to move forward. And we made some headway. I was feeling good about it, but there were always more things I wanted to do. Well, there was a kind of a tradition that had taken place before we arrived there at this college where there was a senior skip day. Probably familiar with that thing, aren't you? There's high schools a lot of times will have that. And sometimes colleges will have it. Well, unfortunately, over the previous few years, this skip day had kind of become a little bit of a vandalism day. Kind of like, we're not only going to skip, we're going to mess stuff up when we go. You would never do any of that today, I know. But and so I didn't know this was coming. There was the morning. Barbara and I drove to the campus right on schedule. You could set your clock by me. I got there. I walked in the door. And first I saw outside things that had been messed up. There was peanut butter on screens. There was Vaseline on doorknobs. There were other things that were a little bit more destructive than that. As I look back now, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was then, but I thought it was horrific. It was, you know, this is like a murder indictment for somebody. So, you know, and I was so intense. I was so committed to making this college be everything it could to protect this campus. And I walked up and I saw this stuff and I started doing a burn. I mean, I was ticked. I was angry. When I walked in that door, there was probably smoke coming out my ears. Because, you see, I knew there were little retired ladies somewhere on fixed incomes who were giving, and I knew how difficult it was. I was sacrificial. How could somebody have the audacity to treat this place like this? And so I was just burning with anger. Now, you got to understand, I'm the guy who in chapels who would frequently we frequently refer to Psalm 118, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But I'm mad now. I don't feel glad right now at all, okay? So I've tried to lead that way, okay? So, but I didn't feel like leading anybody that way right that day, that moment. So I'm looking around and I'm just taking it all in, and there was this student who was standing over here to the side. He knew I'd be coming, and he was watching because he wanted to see how it would hit me. I didn't even notice him at first because I was too angry to notice him. As I looked around, and I was just so indignant, he came walking up to me, walked right up in front of me, and in his most loving but also a little taunting voice said, "Good morning, Brother Bach." I looked back at him with fire in my eyes, without thinking at all. These words came out as I looked at him, "What's good about it?" I can't share that today without it hitting me, without it breaking me up. Because the moment those words left my lips, it was like an arrow of the Holy Spirit hit me. "You hypocrite. This is the day the Lord has made. What's good about it?" I looked at his eyes, and that split seconds all this took place in his eyes. I saw the disappointment in his eyes. I knew he saw the look of disappointment and embarrassment in my eyes. I didn't know what else to say. I just turned and I walked away. And I walked upstairs to where my office was. I closed the door. I put my head in my hands and I wept and I wept and I wept. And I repented before God. I said, "Lord, I vow to you I will never again on any day, in any moment of my life, say, what's good about today? What's good about today?" So this aspect of learning how to be thankful in all things has a very personal conviction for me, a very personal emotional attachment for me, because it comes out of having failed to give thanks to the Lord in a situation I had no right to be unthankful at that point. So this is what I've learned. I am learning that how we respond to life, and we all are responding to life all the time, aren't we? There's always stuff going on in our lives, good, bad, and ugly. That's part of life. How we respond to life really reveals who we are. It's at that moment that we learn who we really are. So I am committed to this proposition I want to challenge you about today, and that is, we must develop an attitude of gratitude. And that means to be thankful. It means we must take the added step of expressing gratitude. Now, God's word is packed with a wealth of verses about being thankful. We only have time to look at a couple of them this morning, but I want to start with this one in 1 Thessalonians, when it says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ." Now, this begs two questions. First of all, what things? What circumstances? Good class, it's very good. All, he says, there are no exceptions. There are no asterisks here. Even when you're angry at people like I was that day, give thanks, be thankful in all circumstances. And why? Sometimes people say, "I don't really know what God's will is for me." Well, we get a start here, okay? There's a start right there. God's word is full of lots of things telling us what his will is for us. We're busy looking for, "Yeah, but I want to fill in this blank. He's saying, "Let's talk about this blank first, okay? Let's take care of this one first. Being thankful in all circumstances. Now, I've learned that sometimes to better understand what something is, it's helpful to define what it is not, okay? We talk about being thankful. So here's our go at that. Thankfulness is not something that is sent from or provided by God. Now, there are probably people who are deeper scholars of the word than I. I have not memorized all of the scripture, But I'm hard-pressed to find a word in there, a scripture that says that God makes me thankful. There are things he does for me, makes me glad. He has made me glad. We have a song based on Psalms. He has made me glad. There are many things that God does for me, but I can't find any verse that says God has made me thankful or that God has given me a gift of thankfulness. There are many gifts we read about in the Word. I can't find thankfulness as being one of those that he does for us. Okay, so we know this. He loves, he saves, he heals, he fills, he restores, he teaches, he provides, he blesses, he disciplines, he touches, he grants wisdom, he does all of these things and more, but there is no gift of thankfulness. That's why it's incumbent upon us that we are the ones who must choose to be thankful. Now, that means when you make a choice like that, no one else can force you and me to be thankful. It is of our own volition. It is our own choice to do this. We choose to be thankful, and likewise, no one can make you not be thankful. No one can do that for you. So thankfulness is an act of faithfulness to God's word, and choosing to be thankful is our privilege and responsibility. Looking at another verse in Ephesians. And give thanks for what? There's a theme going on here, isn't there? Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for everything. I don't know if any of you have read the book by Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place. Any of you read that book? I highly recommend it. I think it's like fifth or sixth printing or so. It is one of the most moving books because Corrie Ten Boom and her sister were Dutch citizens who were thrown into a concentration camp when they were girls. I don't need to tell you about concentration camps. You've known all about that from history. But Corrie and her sister were thrown into the Ravensbrück concentration camp. They were in a woman's barracks that was known for being flea-infested. This is just one of the stories that Corrie tells in her book. A flea-infested barracks. Bad enough to be in a concentration camp. Okay, bad enough to be in a barracks, but to have it totally infested with fleas is not for a good thing. And Corrie tells a story how when they were grappling with this, that her sister, her younger sister, said to her, naively, biblically, but very naively, said, well, Corrie, maybe we should thank God for the fleas. That's great. That's what her younger sisters are for, I guess. You know, telling me to get biblical, you know. Maybe we should thank God for the fleas. And Corrie was just put out there. Come on, sis, you know, I can't be thankful for fleas. Only later did she realize that is because of those fleas, all of the other barracks where the women were in that camp, the guards regularly assaulted the women. They didn't want to go into the flea-infested barracks. Not only that, they were able to freely hold Bible studies and lead other women to the Lord. Why? Fleas. Because of fleas. Now, at first blush, you and I would say, in no way I can give thanks for fleas, you know. Let me give thanks for other things, but not for fleas. And yet Corrie learned because of that experience, you could indeed give thanks in all things. So let's take a quick look at what choosing to be thankful does. There are some real benefits also for us in being thankful. Giving thanks makes you happier. This has been documented by the Harvard Medical School. They did this test, this experiment, where they had one group of people who wrote about things for, I think it was 10 days, No, it was 10 weeks. They wrote for 10 weeks. They had their assignment was to write about things that they were grateful for that had occurred during that week. Every week was a summation. Yeah, here are things I'm grateful for. I can be thankful for these things. A second group wrote about the daily irritations or things that displeased them, the things that ticked them off. And the third group wrote about events that had affected them with no emphasis. It was neutral. No emphasis, either positive or negative. And this is what they discovered. After 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better about themselves. This is really good. This is really interesting. They also exercised more. They also exercised more and had fewer visits to physicians than those who focused on sources of aggravation. So we know that being thankful is like a spiritual vitamin then. That thankfulness produces more thankfulness. Thankfulness has like yeast in it. It just keeps expanding. If you start walking into thankfulness, you find there's just more to be thankful for. The more you become thankful, you begin seeing things you didn't even recognize before. It's like there's a whole new light, on life, and things that you had not recognized at all previously. Giving thanks transforms your outlook and your relationships. So thankfulness generates and produces more thankfulness. If we took a look, take a look again at 1 Thessalonians. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. It is God's will for us. Well, how do we do this? Okay, this is where the teacher part of me comes in. I have five things I'm going to share with you this morning. That means I'm not a good preacher. It has to be three. So I'm sorry. I'm going to break that. Five things I want to share with you on steps that I believe what will transform you into a thankful person. If you're a note taker, here they are. How to be thankful in all circumstances. Number one is choose. We've been talking about that. Choose to thank God for his grace and salvation. You see, when everything else goes lousy, when you have fleas where you're living, whatever it may be, you may be hard-pressed at that point to be thankful for fleas. That may come a little bit later, okay? It may be difficult for you to give thanks right then for that. But you can always give thanks to God for his grace and salvation. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. That's what we do. What we do when we get together and sing and worship like that, we are thanking God for his grace and his salvation. And it does something to our hearts, doesn't it? It wells up within us so that when we walk out of this place and we engage with life, we are better positioned, we are better prepared to deal with all those things that at first blush would not make us thankful. Ah, but I've got God who loves me. God's with me. I've got a body of believers I'm a part of, and I'm so thankful for what God is doing through that. So thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, Paul was pretty good with words. And if Paul himself would say it's indescribable, that means it's really something. An indescribable gift. Second, choose to thank God for what you have instead of focusing on what you do not have. It's like deposits in a bank. It's like focusing on, you know, the old thing, focusing on a half full instead of half-empty glass of water. I sat on one side of my mother's deathbed. My dad was on the other. We knew the time was imminent. Her breathing was growing shallower. She could no longer converse with us. It was a death watch. We both sat there, and some of you have experienced this. All you can do is just sit there and watch death. You don't want to be alone, that loved one. Sat there for I don't know how long it was. Her breathing was very shallow, and then I noticed there was no more breathing. I remember I got up and leaned over and put my ear down to my mom's mouth and nose. There was nothing. And I looked across to Dad, and I said, Dad, she's gone. My dad, who was 89 years old at the time, what do you do at a moment like that? The first words out of his mouth was this as he looked into her face. I'm so thankful for the years we had together, honey. We had a wonderful life. Choosing to give thanks. In the most difficult period of life, he saw sweetness in that moment. I later told him my dad and my mom had been living in an assisted living facility, and he wasn't able to do that very long after that. He lived till 91 and a half, a year and a half more. Had to move him over to a nursing home. And many of you know this, in the family walk, many times that's what happens. It's not the most inviting prospect. I really am not thinking that that would be a great place I'd want to be, but I understand and I'm thankful for it. But my dad was in this room, and I saw him not only respond that way to my mom's death, but also how he dealt with all the situations in that home. He was loved by people there. One day I was sitting with him, just the two of us in the room. I said, Dad, you know what? I'm still learning from you. You're still teaching me. He thought he was useless at that point. Thought he couldn't be productive in any way. He looked up and his eyes got big. I am? I said, yes, you're teaching me every day. I see how you respond to life. I see how you deal with some of these difficult situations. I see how you deal with reversals. I see how you deal with losses. And there continues to be a sweetness about you because your heart is full of love for the Lord, gratitude, and thankfulness to Him. My dad's still a model for me, consequently, because of that, because I saw that kind of living example of being thankful in every way. So choose to thank God for what you have instead of focusing on what you do not. Paul wrote, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. How can anybody say that? Only because you're thankful to the Lord. Your heart is filled with gratitude. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, instead of focusing on all the bad things, and there are always plenty of those, it's focusing on Him and choosing to be thankful. Third, choose to thank God for the people in your life. That's worth an amen, folks, right here. As you look around here, choose to be thankful for the people in your life. I heard a wonderful testimony here today. Found hope. And it's not just because of the good preaching. It's because of you also. It's what God is doing in the body. We read in Acts 28. It says, at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. He saw some people and he was encouraged. Just getting together can be a source of encouragement for you. So choose to thank God. You come across somebody else in life who's an ugly scalawag and scowly and mean and cantankerous and every sort of obnoxious thing you could describe them as being. Thank God for these other folks. Thankful everybody isn't that way. Thankful for these people in my life. And here's the tough one. Here's the challenge, which is choose to thank God in the difficult places. If you know or remember anything about Daniel, who was told that he could not pray, he was basically in a lockdown situation, couldn't pray, couldn't worship the Lord, and we know ultimately was thrown into a lion's den as they tried to kill him. And it says that he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Done before means when it was a good times. He was consistent. He was faithful. Day in and day out, good times or bad times, you can count on Daniel being thankful to the Lord. And then fifth, choose to thank God for His presence and power in your life. Choose to thank God for His presence and His power in your life. Practice being aware of and thankful for His presence. We read in Matthew, this is the words of our Lord Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He is with us. He is with us at all times through every situation. So thank God for His loving grace and transformation. Be thankful for what you have instead of just focusing on what you do not have. Be thankful for the people in your life. In the difficult places, be thankful. And be thankful for His presence and power in your life. And Colossians 3:5 gives us a powerful benefit and blessing. It says this, and let the peace of God that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. And there he goes again. And always be thankful. One leads to the other. Being thankful leads to peace. Having peace leads to being thankful. So we can choose to be thankful. God bless.
Boy, what a gift that is. We're not thankful for bad things, but we can be thankful in bad things. Boy, I appreciate that so much. And Hope Church, you need to know that I submit myself to the authority that's over me. I consider that an honor. I don't want to be a loose cannon out in the world. I have a structure above me that holds me accountable, and I love that. I am not a person who wants to be on my own. I mean, I'm a hard driver, and I don't mind taking on challenges, but at the end of the day, I love the fact that I'm under a covering of Open Bible that provides guidance, provides help, provides insight, and allows me, with the little bit that we can do, be a big picture in a lot of things. So appreciate that so much, and we all need to be thankful, and I'm thankful for you. Here's how I want to close the service. I really wanted the president of our movement and Barb to pray for us. And it's not going to take a long time, but I think there's something very important in that. And what I'm going to do in just a moment, I'm going to have Barb come, and then I'm going to ask you to stand up and just come to the front and just have them, I just want them to pray for us. I think it's a big deal. And you don't hear me say lots and lots of times, God said this. But I'm telling you, I felt like the Lord said, you need to invite the president to come and to have him bless your church. And so I said, no problem. I didn't even know if they would come. I called Randall. I said, I don't even know if you do this, but I just feel like the Lord wants you to come and share with us and then to bless us. He goes, oh, that's a big part of my job. I'm like, oh, really? Okay, thanks. Come. And so I'm thrilled about that. And many of you know that when Wes and I built this cross and we were redoing things, the Lord gave me a perspective of who I am. And we put a little teeny cross. I kind of scratched it on the front right down here. And if you come up close, you can see it. But here's what that does for me every week. It reminds me there's only one person who's elevated, and that's the Lord. And I'm just a little part of doing what God does. And every Sunday, I look at that little cross, and I say, Jim, you have a privilege to share about the big cross. You have a privilege to love Hope Church. And I don't take it for granted. And I don't take for granted that the president of All of Open Bible is with us today and is willing to bless us. I mean, it's a big deal, I think, in the spiritual realm. And so what an honor for you two to be here. And so here's what I want to do. Let's stand, and honey, if you'll come down, we'll just down in the front here, we'll all just come walk towards the front. And if you don't want to touch people or be too close, you can kind of back up. But all who can come, just come down here. And then I'll let you pray for us, both of you. And then you can dismiss us this morning.
It is such a joy to come and meet more of our family. Do you know that we're family in this Open Bible organization? And we loved getting together with your pastors and leaders yesterday and Friday night. What a joy. This is the best part of our job right here. And I wanted to share that the Lord gave me a word when my husband became president of some promises. Is it too close? Okay. He gave me promises in the midst of transition, and I know in the natural that this body has been through many transitions. Some of you may not even know all of the history, but we're always in transition, you know, in the midst of maybe something that we don't even like right now, you know, in our personal life or circumstance. But we're always in transition, and God works because we're thankful in the midst, right? So the promises he gave me was from Exodus 33 when he asked Moses to serve. And in his transition, he gave him promises of his presence, of his provision, of his protection, and his peace. And Moses said, Lord, you know me by name. You said you know me by name. He knows each of you by name. And he knows where he wants to take you individually, you as a person, in your family, in this body. He knows the future. And I see so many great things, and I'm so thankful to rejoice with you at how God has blessed you. And so then the Lord said, or Moses said, Lord, show your glory. And the Lord said, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock. That may be in circumstances that you just need God's peace and presence. I will hide you in the cleft of the rock as my glory passes by. So my prayer is always, God, show your glory. Show your glory in all circumstances. And show your glory in this body through these people. And we just look to hear and to see his blessing and how he's honored your faithfulness, your leaders and your pastors. So that's my prayer. So I spoke my prayer, you know, as I shared. So
let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving today, recognizing your grace. Lord, you found us when we didn't know where you were. You found us first. We talk about how we accept you, but you found us first. Thank you, Lord, for seeking us out. Thank you, Lord, for extending your grace to us. Pray for every family here, every family unit, Lord. Whatever they might be dealing with, God, I pray for your intervention in their lives. I pray for fulfillment of dreams. I pray for answers to prayer. I pray for loved ones right now who do not know you. There are people, this group right now represents several people who are not walking with you. God, we pray that you will pursue them like Spurgeon once said, like the hounds from heaven, Lord, lovingly pursue them. We claim them right now to bring them into your kingdom. We thank you for that. By faith right now, we agree in this together. And Lord, then we pray corporately for Hope Church. You have given this church, sovereignly given this church, a unique footprint in this community and beyond. Yes, pastors, elders, and leaders have led, but you have led them. This has your signature all over it, Lord. This isn't merely the good idea of men and women. This is you. And Lord, we pray that you will extend, as you already have, but you will extend and you will deepen and you will broaden the influence of this church right here in the greater Bentonville area and beyond. We think of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That Hope Church, that signature will be everywhere, oh God, because of the faithfulness of your people. Give this church favor, we pray. A sovereign work from you that goes beyond our personalities, goes beyond anything we can do. It's a work of your Holy Spirit. Even as we are faithful to do our part in sharing your love with other people. And then we pray, Lord, for the leaders of this church. Pray first of all for Pastor Jim and Sharon. God, your anointing is upon them, and we give you thanks for them. Their willingness to give of themselves sacrificially, their willingness to lead by example, to model that which they teach. It isn't just a matter of saying, you go do this. It's here, we'll go with you and we'll do this together. Pray, Lord, for the entire staff, for all of the elders, Lord, here, for your anointing to be upon them in such a sweet and powerful way. And we pray that indeed, even as I've prayed for them before, I pray that you will place before them visions that are too great to be accomplished by people alone. You have a purpose for Hope Church that transcends anything that we can see right now in this room. I pray that you'll help this body to be a body of faith like never before. I know they have been, but I pray for even expanded faith to believe for greater things. Not so we can say, look at what we've done, but so that we can say, look at what you've done through us. Pray for your richest blessing in every aspect. Meet all the needs of this church, oh God. And I pray, oh Lord, that the coming days and coming weeks as we move into this, whatever it looks like after COVID, We still don't know. Lord, we walk by faith again. This church will be the church you want it to be. Blessings upon them now, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, and all of us together can say, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you much.